Welcome back to Conversations with Her. My name is Phaedra Prendergast, Editor-in-Chief of WTC Magazine, the number one print and digital magazine for all things enterprise and community. I share stories of women who are typically never found on the front line and place them on our front covers to inspire the next generation of female leaders. Today, I'm joined by Lauren Conrad, the television personality turned changemaker and businesswoman, and Hannah Scavala, human rights advocate and changemaker, who have both come together and collaborated in the creation of their powerful non-profit online trade shop, The Little Market. The Little Market helps women and families in underserved and mildly unprivileged areas across the world by providing them with the opportunity to have economic autonomy.
When we're working hard to grow the business and do this, we've sort of removed personal financial gain from the equation. And it's really just all about doing everything we can to do right by the artisans we work with. So I think that that also helps uncomplicate things. So Hannah and I met actually in school, FITM, Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising. And we were both at the Orange County campus. I was there temporarily before moving to LA and continuing to go to school there. I think I was either 18 or 19. Guessing 19 because it was my second semester of college. So yeah, 18 or 19. So we met briefly while at the Orange County campus, and then I moved to LA. She also moved to LA, and then we sort of re-met years later and became fast friends and travel buddies. Hannah's an excellent person to travel with. So we started traveling and seeing lots of places together. She also was working in the nonprofit space. She was, I want to get the wording right here, Hannah, working with?
Yeah, I was working with Human Rights Watch. I was volunteering there.
Thank you. And so she was always telling me about the work they were doing. She started inviting me to their events. It was all really inspiring. I loved learning about it and hearing everything. And I asked Hannah if I could come along on one of her trips where she was visiting with nonprofits because I wanted to get involved in some way. I wasn't sure what that looked like. So Hannah was nice enough to bring me to Africa with her. And we did lots of different visits and kind of talked about different ways we felt like we could make a difference. And that was where the concept for The Little Market was born.
I love that.
I'm sure Hannah can shed more light on that. That was a really quick recap of a few years.
Yeah, no. So like Lauren said, I had spent some time volunteering at Human Rights Watch. I was really lucky to have a family that really committed to social justice, human rights, and giving back. So that was really instilled on us as we were growing up. And my family really encouraged us to see, you know, nonprofits work on the ground so you could hear directly from the individuals and communities of what they need and how you can be of service. And I would share about the trips with Lauren and she said, you know, I'd really love to go on one specifically to see how I can help or how we can make an impact for women and children. So we went to Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya and visited with organizations, everything from, you know, organizations that help with girls' education to orphanages. And time again, Lauren and I were inspired by all the women we met and really overwhelmed by the hardships they face every single day. You know, one thing Lauren and I talk about a lot is when we visited a young girl's school and Lauren asked if you could have anything, what would you want? And the girl said mattresses.
Wow.
You know, they were sleeping on cardboard.
Wow.
They wanted mattresses and a vegetable garden so that they could have access to fresh and healthy food. I think both of us remember that so clearly, just growing up with so much privilege, never wanting for either of those two things. Those were always something we had taken for granted. And we really wanted to be able to find a way to help more girls have access to those basic needs. So when we began talking about different ways we could help, we were trying to find unique ways to give back. You know, there's already so many incredible charities and we didn't want to come out and compete with any of them. And we travel and find these beautiful handmade things. Often these items were passed down from the techniques behind the items were passed down from generation to generation. Incredibly special that also we realized that if the women who made them had access to a bigger, more global marketplace, then you could preserve the traditions and create sustainable income without the women having to leave the house, because very often women have to walk for hours to unsafe and dangerous locations where they can, you know, where they have work opportunities, where they may face harassment, discrimination, and might not be paid properly. So by creating an income source for women where they can actually work from, often work from home, still take care of their families, do something they love, it really has an incredible ripple effect within the community. You know, so often now women share with us that because of the handmade goods, or because of the income coming in now from their handmade goods, domestic violence decreases in their communities. And when they have access to their own income, you know, so often globally public school is not free. So even what would be seen for us as a small school fee is enough of a hurdle to keep girls out of school, because typically families choose to send their sons to school rather than their daughters. However, when women are in charge of the income and have their own income, they send their girls to school too. So the ripple effect for future generations is really massive. And that's what really inspires us to keep working every day to grow the little market to be as big as possible, so we can help future generations break the cycle of poverty and have girls get educated.
I love that. And I think what I find most powerful about the little market is that it's all about people. You're thinking about people on every side. So I think I was reading what your vision is all about. And I found it extremely powerful that you not only think from the business side, which of course is the incredible women whose business you're pushing, but you're also thinking about your consumers who get the opportunity to give back and give into this incredible work. So of course you said that, you know, you kind of grew up in this household, but for Lauren, for yourself, What sort of made you want to be a part of this?
I felt like I had a platform and people were listening, so I wanted to say something important. I wanted to use it to uplift others' voices. So I wanted to feel good about the position I had been put in. I felt like it was a responsibility given to me. So it was such a privilege to be able to help these female artisans with their work. So it was something that I had been thinking about for a while. I wanted to be smart about it. I also wanted to make sure that I was using my strengths to do the best job possible. I had a background in design and merchandising. I had knowledge when it came to retail. I kind of had an understanding of the business side of this, and Hannah had an understanding of the nonprofit world. So it was a really nice partnership in that way. And we were able, you know, our skill set were able to kind of complement each other.
I love that. And you've actually taken me straight into
perfect
question, which was actually about business partnerships. And what I wanted to ask was, as you so perfectly put it, about understanding your role and understanding your position, and how important that is to, you know, stay within your role and understand what you do for the business, and, you know, not try to do what the other person does, just to stay in your lane pretty much.
Yeah. we have a very good understanding of what each other's lanes are. And I think that that's one of the reasons we've been able to have such a great partnership with the Little Market. You know, I'm in awe of how Hannah has been able to grow this business and run it. And, so proud of her as my partner. And I think that it has been such a nice experience. And I know, you know, anyone who's worked with Friends knows that there are challenges, but this is, you know, it's been pretty seamless because from day one, we were pretty clear about our roles. And we've kind of stuck with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Hannah, what would you say to that as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things Lauren and I did, and I remember we, you know, our first official trip for the Little Market was to India and Nepal. And I remember on that long flight there, I literally pulled up an Excel spreadsheet on the computer and we went over our roles and responsibilities. And that was probably before any product was even ever purchased. but I knew it was really important for us to put our friendship first and have that always be its own thing, and then have the little market be its own entity. Oftentimes, you know, there is fluidity and we go back and forth on, you know, personal and business stuff. But I really wanted to make sure that there was never any, you know, like conflict or challenges there based on me wanting more of Lauren than she was able to give, you know, time-wise or anything like that. So we really established clear roles and responsibilities from truly before we started. And I'm so glad we did. I think so often in relationships, whether it's personal or business, there's not always those moments to really talk about what everybody's expecting out of their relationship for the future. And I think because we set things up that way, it's part of why we've had such a successful friendship and working relationship. And I think it's only made both of those relationships grow stronger. And so I'm grateful that happened.
I mean, the one other thing that, you know, has also worked in our favor is that this is a nonprofit. Neither Hannah and I or I take salaries. So you know, when we're working hard to grow the business and do this, it's we've sort of removed personal financial gain from the equation. And it's really just all about doing everything we can to do right by the artisans we work with. So I think that that also helps uncomplicate things.
I love that. Absolutely. Yeah. And another thing that I really love as I was doing my research was that you're very transparent with, you know, what goes on. And as you just, you know, explained that it's not for profit. So what your consumers, your customers are giving into, you do openly show, you know, that work. And I love that, you know, you had, you know, the reports online that are easily accessible, and you have a lot of imagery as well of the work that you're doing with the women. How did you kind of put this all together and decide that you were going to be so transparent? And I know, Hannah, you mentioned earlier that, of course, you didn't want to try and rival any other charities or try and take their space.
Yeah, I think so. For us, we always wanted to figure out a way to share the impact of the purchases in a way that was really something the consumer could understand, because we understood that because we had the opportunity to travel and meet with the artisans firsthand and hear the stories firsthand and see the impact firsthand, we would always, that meant so much to us, and that would be a real challenge to be able to communicate to a customer who's purchasing, you know, glassware for their home. But we also understood the importance of telling the story, because the way we look at it is the work Lauren and I put into the little market is to help these communities. And because we've been able to bear witness firsthand, we know that we kind of feel like we have that obligation. So we work really hard to tell the artisan stories to the customers so that they have an opportunity to support the women that we care so deeply about.
Yeah, and I would just add that, you know, we're really fortunate that in recent years, people have become so much more invested in the story behind the items in their home and the things they use in their everyday life. And something that started out as just part of our mission statement has become actually really important in marketing these products and running the business, is that people want to know, you know, where these items came from, who made them. They want to know these things because they make that item so much more special. And also we're, a lot of people, buy gifts from us, which is great. And I think that people are seeking out these types of items in gift giving now, because again, it's a gift that gives back, and it just feels I don't want to say special again, it just, I think people are really excited to give our items, which is great.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right that, you know, mm-hmm. people want to know the story behind things. And I think especially now more than ever, you know, everyone is more invested, I believe, in a product when they know that story and when they know, you know, what's happened. So I really do love that you, on top of giving, you know, these women a platform to showcase their businesses, you also give them an opportunity to, you know, share their stories also. So what was it like, that first trip that you took together, the one right before that big idea to begin this all. What was that first trip like? And at what point did you know we have to do something about this?
Well, I think that it's one thing to read about the realities of someone else's life. It's another to see them. And I think that while we had traveled a lot and we had seen a lot and heard about a lot of things, this was, for me personally, one of the first times that I was able to have more intimate visits and really educate myself on the hardships that a lot of people face in their everyday life. And I think it's hard to absorb that and then walk away and do nothing if you have the capability to do something.
And Hannah?
Yeah, I mean, that was so well said. I feel like I got the chills when you said that. I think Lauren's right. I think, we really can't wait till the world is open again and we're able to travel. We'd love to bring more of our community with us to meet the artisans, because when you connect with women, see how they're living, see the challenges that they face in their everyday life that, you know, women of privilege in the U.S. could never really imagine. It makes you want to work so much harder on their behalf. And I think it's really important for each of us to figure out some way to have the perspective of how fortunate we are. And, you know, when we talk about things like women's rights, oftentimes we're celebrating how far women have come. But I think it's really important that we acknowledge how much further we need to come. And that just because changes have happened here doesn't mean they're happening globally, or if they are, it's happening at a slower pace. And so I think, you know, what Lauren and I have seen is that when women have economic empowerment, that's when women's rights change.
Absolutely. And I want to speak about what it was like, of course, during, you know, the various lockdowns and at the height of the pandemic, because of course a lot of things were closed and, you know, they are already in a position where it's difficult now to add, you know, another thing onto that. I can't imagine what it must have been like for those women. So what was that time like, not only for them but for yourselves, knowing that there's nothing you could even really do to help because it was almost out of your hands?
Yeah. So, I mean, unfortunately for many of the artisans we partner with, they haven't even necessarily seen the worst of it. We have a lot of artisan partners in India, Bangladesh, Nepal, which are all experiencing, you know, lockdowns and second waves of COVID. I think, you know, at the beginning of COVID, we didn't really know what that was going to look like for the little market. But our approach is always, how can we help? So our team communicated with our artisan partners to ask exactly that. And for example, our glassware group in Mexico that makes beautiful glassware employs artisans with physical disabilities who often can't find other work because of discrimination. They had other other sales accounts of theirs had canceled their orders on product that was already made. So we said, send it all to us. We'll buy it. You know, so that was something we were able to do. And then similarly, you know, one of our groups here in the U.S. that makes sugar scrubs and soaking salts, it's women, young moms who have experienced domestic violence and homelessness. And Lauren and I and our team actually came up with those recipes at my house to create work for these women. But because of COVID, there were supply chain issues. They weren't able to get all the ingredients for the sugar scrubs. And then they realized that because of limited capacity, because of, you know, 6 feet separation, not everybody could be at work at the same time. So our team worked really hard to find a new group of makers for the sugar scrub. And we actually partnered with a local nonprofit here in LA that works with women who were trafficked to LA. And so actually for the first time, we created a program of team members that are actually part of the Little Market team, not just artisan partners, who are making the sugar scrubs. So our team completely took on a new project. So there's, you know, there's different ways we've communicated with our artisan partners to see how we can be helpful. One of the other things we've always done for our artisan partners is offer to pay for product upfront and in full. And that makes a huge difference because, you know, typical retailers might not have to pay for the product until it arrives in their warehouse. But for the small artisan groups we're working with, by us offering that, it means that they don't have to deal with the burden of, you know, the cost of the materials. or the risk of, you know, is this going to sell once it arrives at the little market? We take on that risk for them because we don't ever want a mother to have to choose between the cost of materials and school fees or healthy food.
Wow.
And so we've continued to do that for our artists and partners and ask, you know, how much product can we buy? You know, can we let you know our orders for the rest of the year? If so, how can we help support? And for each, you know, even again, before COVID, our policy has always been, you know, when the product gets to us, it gets to us. You know, we have certain holidays we're trying to get products in time for, but if it doesn't get to us in time, there's never been penalties. You know, we always talk about putting people before the product and the profit, because that's why we started this. And I think that just rings true now more than ever, because we were already kind of set up to be able to continue to operate and serve the artisans through COVID.
Yeah. And I think another thing is because of the way, you know, Hannah runs day to day here, sometimes we have to get creative. Like she's saying, you know, sometimes an Easter bunny bag becomes just a bunny bag. You know, we have to be flexible. One thing that Hannah did in the beginning of COVID, which I thought was so genius, was we work with Homeboy Industries, and they do like the printing on a lot of our bags, but they also run a bakery. And if you, I'm not sure if things were the same where you're living, but for some reason, everybody just wanted to like have baked goods during this time. And some people were baking themselves, but they, but Hannah had, we worked with the Homeboy Bakery and had employees delivering baked goods all over, and like people were sending baked goods to each other. And it was another example of just like, you know, trying to be flexible and create job opportunities when possible.
I love that. And what I love the most, I believe, is the fact that you are creating opportunities for these women. And it's not just something that, you know, you're, let's say, giving them money. You're actually giving them the means to you know, make money and further themselves and learn new things and create. So I think that's really powerful. And Hannah, you mentioned something, you know, about taking risk. And I think especially for the fact that, you know, like I said, your business is ultimately all about the people. And there's a lot of risk that comes with people when people are the product. You know, a lot of risk comes with that. So how important do you think it is? And this is a question to both of you. In a business, to be a risk taker?
Go ahead. That's a good question. I don't think of myself as having a very high tolerance for risk. And I think with the little market, what we've done is so often when we bring on a new product, it's actually like an entirely new category or a new concept for our customer. So what we do is we start with a small, reasonable sized order that we know that we'll be able to sell through, because we don't ever want to get the artisan's hopes up. Meaning we want to be able to grow our orders season after season so they can look forward to new orders rather than getting a huge order one year and then us not being able to return. But I think because we, you know, we spend so much time on the product development side, we spend so much time working with the artisans, that we really, by the time the product arrives, we feel really confident in it. So in that sense, it doesn't always feel like a risk. I think now with the growth we've had, sometimes it feels risky to not order enough, especially with COVID, because we don't know when we'll be able to get more. I don't know, Lauren, what would you say?
We're not a high risk company. We have tried to slowly and responsibly grow this business over the years and take each opportunity to learn something about our customer. Because again, as a nonprofit, you always want to be as responsible and thoughtful as possible whenever making any sort of investment. So, I wouldn't consider us high risk at all. And I'm actually perfectly okay with that, because I love learning about a customer. I think I always just find it so interesting. It's like, you know, when you're ordering, like what's going to sell, what's a top seller, what's a slow seller. Like you just don't know until you know. And so I like that we've been able to really slowly grow this company.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned earlier, of course, you know, people are at the forefront and the foundation of all that you do. So even before, I guess, this vision came to life, did you think a lot about people. And as you just said, Lauren, you actually like getting to know, you know, your customer and how each person shops and things like that. You know, did you really kind of study what the customer might be looking for, who your audience, who your clientele really were?
Well, it was a little challenging to do that because we were attempting to fill a void. We felt like there were some businesses that existed on a similar model, but as far as the products they offered, that's not what we were going for. We wanted to do something completely new. We wanted to do a very beautifully merchandised, edited selection of items from all around the world. And we wanted to pick items that we found that we felt like we would put in our homes. We wanted a really elevated aesthetic. We wanted pieces that were easy to be styled in lots of different homes. Like we were very thoughtful with how we selected items, how we photographed them, styled them. So it was really difficult because we wanted to do something that we felt like wasn't being done. And when you do that, you have no idea who the customer is. You say, I want this, you want this, our friends want this. There has to be a customer out there. We don't know how big or small it is. We don't know, you know, the best way to reach her. You know, running a business nowadays is so interesting because social media and algorithms is changing every day. So you're just constantly trying to figure out the best way to market. And so it was very much trial and error. And again, growing a business slowly in that environment was the best choice.
Absolutely. And let's talk about the impact that the little market has created.
Yeah, so we reached a big milestone this year, and that is that we reached 1 million dignified hours of work. And so what that means was we totaled up how much actual work we've created through our product purchases, and it's 1 million hours. And when we talk about dignified work, that's something that we kind of touched on earlier in this, but essentially that means, you know, work where women are thriving. They're in, you know, happy and healthy environments where women are in leadership opportunities, where oftentimes the artisan groups are also doing community development, skill training, and really providing so much more than just a job. So we're really, really excited about that milestone. I think, you know, when we started, our goal was just to help as many women in as many places as possible. You know, kind of actually like what you were saying earlier about, it's not just giving someone money, it's giving them livelihood. You know, it's letting people, you know, oftentimes make the thing they love making and were already making, but just providing a marketplace where they can get a fair wage for their beautiful handmade work. And that whole concept was really something Lauren and I talked a lot at the beginning. And when we were looking at different nonprofits and different ways to give back, one of the things I just remembered Lauren saying is, you know, with this online marketplace, there's no limit geographically to the number of people we can help. It's not just signing up for one campaign to raise awareness for a cause in one community. You know, the bigger we grow this, the more people we can help all over the globe. And I think that's part of what's so exciting about, you know, now working locally, nationally, and globally. We have a handful of partners right here in LA, many more throughout the US, and more throughout the world. And for us, we're really looking to connect with the small producer groups who wouldn't otherwise even be able to ship products internationally. You know, oftentimes it's actually our team helping to fill out customs paperwork for the products and helping to figure out the best shipping rates and going back and forth on even just how to best package the product to get as much product in as possible at the lowest shipping rates. So our team is incredibly involved and is truly invested in serving the most marginalized and underserved communities that wouldn't otherwise have opportunities for work like this.
Absolutely. I love that. Lauren, would you like to add anything to that?
I feel like Hannah did a really nice job there. I don't know that I can really, I would just try and mimic her really.
No problem. And Lauren, I'd like to speak to you a little bit more about, just expand a little bit more about what you were saying about, you know, having the platform and wanting to give that back and present that. Because of course, I know many of us may remember you from being the much loved character on The Hills, but I was saying that it's so important that you've been able to, you know, grow and continue. I won't even really call it, let's say, a rebrand. I definitely call it growing and continuing. So I wanted to ask, you know, what you'd say to someone else that also has, you know, a voice, a platform, and believes that they have to continue maybe on the road that they're currently on, and how to, you know, continue going.
Well, thank you. That's so nice of you to say. I think I did television at such a young age, and I was, you know, still in the process of figuring out who I was. And I'm still in that process, obviously. I'm very much a work in progress. But I think that when you start to learn about things and you start to have passions and you feel like others should know, like, what a privilege to have a voice that people are listening to. So I would always encourage, I mean, I would say also to surround yourself with people who challenge you to do that, and just continue to learn, educate yourself about the things around you. I think oftentimes those that have these voices, you know, have the opportunity to sort of live in a bubble. They live a very glamorous life. So if you can share that platform with someone who doesn't have those same opportunities, I think that's really beautiful.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. And I really love what you just said about, you know, surrounding yourself with people that challenge you. That's actually something that my mentor tells me a lot. I think it's very, very key so that you continue to grow. And it's clear that you've both done that really incredibly well. And I'm very excited to see where the little market will go from here. Really quickly before we do round up, are there any plans for the little market for the rest of 2021?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, especially as, you know, COVID continues to impact so many of the women we work with, it's really just figuring out how we can best serve them. So I think, you know, just one example is in the past, you know, something like glassware, which I mentioned, we had only worked with one producer group, so we wouldn't, you know, create competition within our site for them. But now, because of delays with COVID, we're looking to expand that. So we actually just added on glassware from Egypt. We'll be adding on glassware from Indonesia, glassware from Morocco. But it's an example of how we'll be looking to bring on more product and expand our collection, because now we don't see it as competing. We just can see it as giving our customers other options, especially as we continue to see, you know, delays and challenges for the artisans who are making the products.
Absolutely. I really, really love that. Well, thank you both for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure. I can't wait to tell this story.
Thank you, Lauren and Hannah, for joining me, and to our listeners for tuning in for another week of Conversations with Her. I hope you were inspired by these two women. For our April and May issue, we are of course discussing partnerships and collaborations. And I think this is a very powerful example of what can happen when two minds come together to make an overall vision come to life. Join me again next week for another Conversation with Her.